The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 Oh, sorry.
Stop it.
It's been a while.
Boys, you stop while. It right now.
I miss you guys.
Oh, welcome back you. Once again to Podcast Beyond, episode 404.
Palindromes.
File not found.
What? That's a real good name for the episode.
Yeah. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me is Marty Sliva.
Hi, Max.
Hey, Brian Altano. And Andrew Goldfarb, who's on his phone.
I'm looking up a story that Brian told me to look up. Hey,
breaking news.
Good day to you.
Breaking news.
Yeah, what's
up? How
are
you guys doing?
Doing real good. Well.
Hey,
real weird, because we're doing this half an hour early, and it's like, it's
throwing you off.
Getting my jives all out of wiggles.
You should get in there. Get all.
I don't know what to do.
Get goosey.
Who
does that mean?
Ooh, here likes a PlayStation.
We brought a lot of energies.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some stuff to talk about. Gamescom is next week.
Yes.
We're going.
We're going.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what we know, what we hope to see.
Yep.
Sort of our game plan, our predictions.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Gamescom. Gamescom itself is kind of a mess, which we can get into, but I love Cologne. I love that part of Germany, and I like shows like that.
No, Brian loves Cologne. I saw a bottle of it fall out of his bag once.
Oh,
it was one of the most Italian accidents I've witnessed on your behalf.
Yeah, you have nice cologne in your bathroom. Yes. I stayed there. I saw
for rifling through my shit. Yeah,
it's sitting right there.
I like to smell good and be Italian.
You do smell good.
So I'm actually I have never been to Europe, so this is going to be exciting for me.
Have
wow, great.
Yeah, I mean, I was born there, but I haven't been there.
But you're well, Ryan knows that.
Yeah,
where are you born?
I was born in the south of France.
Oh,
yeah, and I've never
nice.
Been
down in Caen.
Nice.
Goldfarb, you were born inside a woman, and you haven't been back yet either.
God, you're the worst.
Quick into the Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about China. China lifting the council.
China.
Plan. We're going to talk about Witchers.
That's right.
We talk about a good thing for wrestling and a bad thing for wrestling. Actually, two good things for wrestling that guy's not there.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
okay.
Yeah, we're going to know.
Do you want to start us off? You want to give us some quickies?
Yeah, sure.
Are we doing quickies or should we start off with Gamescom?
We can start with quickies.
Okay.
And then
quickies.
Transition in.
Okay.
So the first one, Marty, you suggested is on here, and I totally agree. China is officially lifting its ban on consoles, which has been a longstanding. So I think it was back in 2013 they were talking about reconsidering, and now they have. So basically now any foreign manufacturer will be free to manufacture and distribute consoles in China, which is a really big deal because that's a gigantic chunk of the population.
A billion people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a 15% of the Earth's population.
Yeah, that now potentially has access to video games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where my understanding is that it's very – very easy to get consoles, even though they're technically like embargoed there.
True.
You know, like you just have to go to a corner of the mall as opposed to like a large store at the mall.
It's very interesting because like that niche of people who want to import games and want to play games and want to figure out how to do it, like that's – they find a way, right? But I think like it's more like the entire casual sector, like the people who like would have gotten it for Christmas. Like I don't know that necessarily they would have.
You know what I'm stoked about is Chinese video game box art.
Yeah.
Like, official because it's going to be crazy looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be – like I'm interested to see because this has the potential to like totally like like, you know, change the tides of how the console sales work and how games are developed. I mean, that's such an amazing market. But at the same time, it could just be like a ripple. Like, maybe you're right. Maybe people do. Maybe it is really easy to get. And maybe it's not going to make that big.
Well, and it's also so for me, what's interesting isn't necessarily the fact that a billion people will suddenly have games. It's the fact that the ban happened because of the potential effects on children. That was like one of the major reasons cited. They didn't want like children to have like mental or developmental effects based on the fact they played video games. It says a lot about where the medium is now, that like that's no longer a concern. Mm-hmm. That like now it's like fairly
all the children already have that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also like how do you control that? I mean, because PC gaming's huge there, smartphone stuff is there. Yeah. I mean, like the biggest free to play stuff is like Tencent.
Yeah,
they own Epic. Like,
oh, totally.
You know, it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, the company that makes the engine that a large chunk of video games runs on is just kind of unceremoniously bought by a Chinese company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
They have a stake in Riot also, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's really interesting. Transformers Revenge of the Fall, or the dinosaur one, Age of Extinction. Mm-hmm. That was the highest grossing
Return
movie.
Return of the Sith.
Yeah, the dinosaur one is the name of the film.
We're back at Transformers Dinosaur Story.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg blew up his barn, the movie. That was the highest grossing movie like worldwide last year.
Yeah.
American Sniper was the best in America because we like American stuff. But
like fake babies.
It's interesting because like there's stuff that will do really well in China that like Pacific Rim did really well in China.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do so great stateside. And it was kind of like, is this a flop? What is this? You know?
Well, you read stories where a movie hasn't made its money back domestically and it's like, it's considered a flop, but they're like, but when we release it in China, we hope things will turn around. I'm like, how much money are you going to make in China?
Well, and also the money from Chinese films will occasionally impact Western development on a movie. Like Iron mm-hmm. Man had scenes that were specifically mm-hmm. shot with a China exclusive character, and that movie is different in its Chinese theatrical release.
So you think games will get recut?
I think that's kind of what I was sort of getting at with that. Is like, what are we going to see kind of people, you know, focus group targeting a different market, you know, because it's going to be a big chunk of the market there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Transformers movie. Don't watch it if you're one of the people who still hasn't seen it. It's a really bad movie, but the second half of it is all in China and it's weird.
If you play Journey in China, it's about dying during pollution.
Jesus.
It's very gray.
Yeah, so that's cool. That could be huge. That could be nothing. I don't think that China's going to go Microsoft. It's a hunch. They're not going to go. They're not going to swing towards the Xbox one.
Yeah,
that's my bold prediction here on Podcast Beyond that Xbox One will not win in China.
What if the Wii U picked up? What if like maybe, the Wii U just suddenly
it suddenly
blew
sells
up
a billion Wii U's?
That would be really really weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you have something you've kept from people for so long that who knows what they'll want to jump on. Maybe they'll want something that can be hacked easily, something that's more moddable. Maybe they're so used to having more of an open source market that something that's as direct as a console, being like, you can only play these 50 games, is going to be extremely limiting to them.
Yeah, and I
or they'll do something stupid and be like, the games cost $120 each, like they do in some countries.
It'll be interesting because, to Max's point, like, I don't know, I legitimately don't know a ton about how available things were. Like, I don't know if it was just like, oh, like, you can't buy it at the equivalent of Best Buy, but there's a billion stores down the road that, like, all the mom and pop shop have video games and they've been easy to get for years. Yeah. Like, I know in the last 2 years it's gotten easier than it ever was before that, because I know 2013 is when they started talking about changing this, and then I think it was last year they kind of relaxed it, whereas now it's like the first time it's like fully just like the ban's gone.
Let's put it this way: if you are a Podcast Beyond listener residing in China and you have stories for us, let us know. We honestly have no understanding of what that's like.
I bet it's like buying like Chinese switchblades and butterfly knives here. Like, you can do it. You just have to look around.
You gotta look a little bit.
They're like technically not legal, but you can go buy them.
Yep. Yeah.
Get an airsoft gun.
Yeah. Let us know what it's like.
Shoot your sister.
Send us an email.
There's a store I used to live in. Text us an email.
Send us an email. Yeah.
I used to live in Connecticut, and there was a store in one of the malls there that sold like brass knuckles and like all these things. Oh, yeah. And their thing was like, it was legal to sell it, but the second you buy it, it's illegal to own it, was what all the signs in the store said. So it's like, if you can escape the mall without getting caught by a cop.
My friend in New Jersey got pulled over by a cop, and the cop searched his trunk because there was funny smoke coming out of the car. And in the trunk, they found a
smoke machine.
They found brass knuckles and a bootleg copy of Rob Schneider's The Animal. And the cop was like, what is all this? What are you trying to start? Some sort of illegal weapon and Rob Schneider movie bootleg company. And my friend was like, you're a really bad cop. I was like, I've been doing this for like 2 weeks. Everyone laughed and high-fived, and now they the cops kill a lot of people, so it's bad.
All right.
So what else we got?
All right. Witcher 3.
I don't know what to make of this. The last free DLC, they had 16 weeks of free DLC for that game. I still haven't friggin' finished it. I keep meaning to get back into it. That's a massive game. Mm-hmm. The last free DLC is a New Game Plus mode.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
I guess that means you just start a new. You kind of keep playing.
You carry over probably all your cool stuff, right?
Yeah, it won't be this week. They said because they need to delay it for the patch or whatever. But yeah, it's I would assume you like maybe keep your money and like your customizations or whatever
it is. That's like already like a 200-hour game, so that's kind of
It's a weird game for a New Game Plus.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. It's sort of like, I don't know how many people are going to do this because it is such a long game, but that being said, like the Souls games and Bloodborne, like people love that. Like people consider like the real challenge to be when you get to New Game Plus and New Game Plus 2.
It's probably one of my favorite things about Resident Evil 4 was finishing that game with all my weapon upgrades and then just running back out. And
getting the like unlimited Tommy gun and everything.
Yeah, also, crazy stuff like that is
Persona
really
4 Golden. Yeah, second playthrough is really fun because you keep your money and your Persona catalog, which means that you can like summon all your best Personas really quick and have them early in the game.
Things get weird. You know, not the full boyfriend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
It's interesting. I feel like this is a historically kind of a Japanese game feature, like New Game Plus.
Yeah.
Like, am I wrong there? Like, no, that's
no. I agree with that.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see, like, Polish studio throw that in there.
Am I crazy? Didn't Arkham Asylum have something? Maybe I'm making that up.
No, you're crazy.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you're crazy. You're out of your mind.
A little kooky boy named Andrew Goldfarb.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. This is a rough one. It's coming to PS4 holiday 2016.
This sucks.
Yeah. Well,
here's the thing, though. Like, that just makes it a year, and it's interesting because, like, with all the discussions, that was exactly a year ago when they announced this at Gamescom. And they were like, every interview is like, will it eventually come to PS4 and PC? They were like, nope, it's Microsoft exclusive. And that's interesting that the period ended up being a year, which is admittedly really long. Like, I don't think there's been a gap that long since the GTA 4 DLC is the last time I remember a like full year passing. So I don't want to, like, that sucks for people with a PS4 who really want to play Tomb Raider. But it's also really interesting that, like, it shows that it wasn't, like, a true exclusive. And it does almost make me wonder what will happen with, like, I know Street Fighter V, they said, like, Sony co-funded, I believe. So that one's, like, a true never-coming-to-Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
This is just interesting to me that, like, even after all of that, it ended up only being
The weird thing is that it comes out for PC a few months after the Xbox version.
Yes. Yeah. Which, I mean, that's Microsoft.
It's Microsoft, so it makes sense.
Still, that means, like, they actively paid money to keep PlayStation owners from enjoying something enjoyable for a full year.
So I wonder if they're co-publishing or if they aided development. Like, I don't know. There are, like, so many reasons that can happen. I don't think it's necessarily a malicious thing so much as a, like, getting back their investment thing.
You think they aided development?
I don't know. I mean, they announced it a year ago. So,
at the very least, like, I don't know if with actual, like, human resources or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is also, you have to keep in mind, so we're Tomb Raider's coming out on Xbox One in November.
Yeah.
And then, assumedly in Q1, Uncharted 4 will be coming to PS4.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, like, I don't know, how people react to Tomb Raider before we've played Uncharted, and then how people react to Uncharted after Tomb Raider, and then how people will re-react to Tomb Raider.
Are Nate and Lara the new Mario and Sonic?
I mean, I actually really appreciate.
Are they?
How.
Seriously, I need to know.
I appreciate how different these games are becoming. Yeah. I don't think they're even remotely comparable anymore, honestly. Like, Uncharted is still that sort of, like, linear action game, and I think they're opening things up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point A and a point B in the Uncharted games now, and it looks like the new stuff, like the squiggly line between A and B is.
And that's what I'm excited for, because the Uncharted 4 demo with, like, the driving, like, that world seems so big, and it didn't just seem point A to point B. It almost looked like maybe there are alternate paths and stuff, but I'm curious because, like, Tomb Raider had that – it wasn't, like, fully an open world, but you got that, like,
you got that
sense of exploration a little more. Yeah.
Which I loved.
Also,
you know?
Yeah, it had that more of that, like, Metroidvania idea too, where, like, you couldn't get to certain areas until you
had
items.
And this one has all of the sort of, like, the hunting and trapping. Like, it looks like there's a lot of just, like, waiting around and stalking prey and setting up camps and stuff like that. Like,
and I'm excited.
Uncharted's not doing anything like that at all.
I really hope, just like I hope this for Uncharted and why I like 3 a lot, I really hope this Tomb Raider doesn't have any supernatural stuff. Like, I would love for it to just be a straightforward story.
Yeah, like, spoilers on the last one. I won't spoil anything, but there's some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
And it's by far the weakest part of that game.
It's the only part where I look back in that game and I'm like, why'd you do that? But yeah. Uncharted does.
I kind of liked it.
Really?
Yeah. I liked all the skulls,
yeah, but you're into
too.
Spooky stuff.
Yeah. I like skulls. I like the part where Lara Croft's in a big room full of skulls.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
that's
river of blood.
And there's like really realistic skull physics, but they're like super bouncy. You're like, you, why are the
you
skulls
understand
moving
that,
around
that
so much?
Real things have skulls, right? And that's not a supernatural element.
Yeah, but they have
never,
a skull.
It's too many skulls.
It's only,
not
it's
unrealistic.
Not only monsters
like,
have
unrealistic
skulls.
Amount of skulls.
That is fair enough. No, I will
I
give
went,
you that.
I went to the catacombs of Paris. There are a whole
lot
bunch
of skulls.
Yeah, but there's not like a big ketchup river down there with just blood everywhere.
That's true. Ubisoft wouldn't let me go down.
Sorry, I said there were 6 billion in the catacombs. It's actually 6 billion.
I don't know. There's that big like that ogre guy. Like he's a
yeah. I didn't like that man. I want more.
I liked it because they were kind of nebulous about it. You're like it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't like the Yetis in Uncharted 2. It was like you're sort of like, what is this? Like, is this just a big
no
scary man?
I'm fine if there's dinos. I can handle dinos because they were real like a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, because they could have just been in a cave and no one found them.
Yeah, Shangri-La.
Yeah. I don't know. This game looks awesome. It sucks if you only have a PS4 because you can't play this for a year. I will be booting up the old Xbox One to play it this fall because I can't wait.
You
unless
are.
Xbox
get
One
off
goes
this
down,
podcast.
And then you can't play it.
Unless it goes down. That's right.
I had that happen with Batman this weekend.
I had a classic PlayStation moment over the weekend where
a new segment. Classic PlayStation moment.
Where I booted up my Xbox One and then 45 minutes later I was allowed to actually use it.
Wait, that happened, Marty? Wait, your Xbox One or your PS4?
My Xbox One.
Oh yeah, it was for so long.
It was
so
like the good old
over,
days on PS3.
Yeah. Marty was at my place when I turned on my Xbox One for the first time in a very long time, and same thing. I had to wait like a very long time for updates. And it's interesting because I was like, man, like it is just weird how that part of the tables have turned. Like the PS3 updates were like insane that way. But yeah, like, I mean, admittedly, if you play often enough on either console, you're never going to really be impacted by updates.
Yeah.
But like this, it had been like months since I turned my Xbox One.
I hadn't either.
Part of it.
No, like, but no bias. There just really hadn't been anything that.
Yeah, I just
and my multi platforms end up going there. Yep. So to PS4.
Playing Batman on Xbox is just because that's where we had the code. So it was just easier. But yeah, in general, I just opt for PS.
It's weird jumping to a different console after you spend a long time with one. It feels like being in somebody else's kitchen.
Yeah. It also
where
sort
is
of
your, where do you keep your
but then
cups?
When you're in that kitchen, you do find the cups and you find the plates.
I mean,
it's fine.
It's all the same.
Yep.
What is your PlayStation?
Unless all the cups are dirty and you got to wait for the dishwasher.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Happens.
Okay, let's talk about wrestling a little bit. All right, I'd say that. So the first thing, which is Marty described them as one good, one bad. The first thing is today 2K announced that the pre-order bonus for WWE 2K16 is not just Arnold Schwarzenegger, but Arnold Schwarzenegger as the T-800 from Terminator 2. Which is very strange and specific.
What the hell?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I love the idea. Okay, if you went back in time to like 1992 and you're like, hey, everybody, guess what? I come from the future. I've come from the far off distant future and I come to announce that first of all, it's going to be called WWE because that panda company is going to sue them.
Yeah.
It's not the WWF anymore. The new video game, it's going to have the Terminator in it. And everyone would be like, that's such a good use of time travel to come back and tell us about that. And I'd be like, but wait. There's no Hulk Hogan, and they're going to be like, what are you saying? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
So that's the other side of the coin, is that, Hulk Hogan will not be in. You get the Terminator, but you don't get Hulk Hogan.
Because Hulk Hogan.
What a complete, this feels like such a, this is like a joke 2015 announcement. You're like, yep.
Hulk Hogan also time traveled back to before when slavery was illegal. Because he's a horrible person. And I'm glad he's out of this game. And you know what's kind of amazing? I think that the WWE and sort of everyone has this sort of Chris Benoit button now inside everything, where every time a wrestler does something horrible, which kind of happens to like 1 out of 7 wrestlers, there's a nuke button where suddenly they don't exist anymore. And Hulk Hogan was completely pulled off of their website, WWE, and he was completely pulled out of this game, which is kind of a big deal because I think it was a year ago. Was it a year ago that he was the cover star?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan actually came to IGN to do an episode of Up at Noon with Greg Miller and I, and he told a story on that show about how he personally autographed something like 10,000 of those cards that shipped with the special edition version of the game. Like, he was all front and center. He was their cover star. He was their big guy. Like, getting Hogan was a huge get for them. And this time around, it's just like, nope. But how do you work that in? Like, I get it on the WWE, where you can be like, he's not here anymore, and they change the storyline at the last minute. But video games take a long time to develop. So I have a feeling he was in there. He's probably still all up in the code.
Their statement
saying racist
was,
things.
We're highly respectful of the way that our partners choose to run their business and manage our partnerships accordingly. We can confirm that Hulk Hogan will not appear in WWE 2K16. I thought that was really interesting. That was a very deliberately worded statement, which is like, the WWE made this decision. There are partners, so we're just following suit. Like, it's like, I thought that was really interesting that they didn't take a side in this.
Yeah.
What a bizarre, just completely weird piece of information, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't know, just that's like to have your legacy just like vertically kind of lifted out, you know? Like that's
yeah, but also like don't be racist. Like it's yeah, just no, like no, that no, weird totally, it's, totally. It's such a weird thing where like all these people from our like the Bill Cosby going on, it's like so insane watching these people who were such a big deal when like we were growing up do these disgusting, awful things. And it's like, people are like, oh, it's such a shame that that's their legacy. And it's like, well, it probably should be their legacy if they did this disgusting, awful thing.
That's what they did
thing.
Then. That's part of the story too, yep. right? And it's kind of like, maybe that's why people make up characters. Maybe that's why we yep. escape into fantasy is because when our real life heroes turn on us, like, what do we have left? Like, Laura Croft has never said the Edward. And if she did, you'd find the person that said that and be like, why did you write that for her? But Hulk Hogan can wake up one day and say that 5 times on camera during a sex tape, which is just a whole lot of bad.
Oh, no, no. Like, so let's go back to this again.
That's what it is.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's the sex tape that the Hawker thing is over.
Because he has sued about the sex tape.
Wrestling fans of 1992, I have very bad news for you.
Yeah.
The upcoming, for lack of a better term, WWF video game, which is nearly photorealistic in all ways, incredibly vivid video game experience. Hulk Hogan will not be in it because of his racist sex tape acquired by the National Enquirer. Luckily, former governor of California...
Is it 92 or future governor?
As former the cyborg Terminator. From the future.
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
All right.
That's weird. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Speaking of sex tapes, in Fallout 4, players can romance their companions. There will be 12 companions in this game, they confirmed during QuakeCon, during a gameplay demo.
By the way, that headline, I misread that. I thought it said Fallout 4 players car romance companions, and I thought you could only have...
You do it in a car.
In weird
I thought this
hours.
Said China lifting 15-year-old barn on consoles.
That's where they've been
it's
all
like, wow, two wrestling stories. China sure is strong.
Yeah, so you can...
Old barn.
You can do the Sexen with up to 12
no,
different...
No, so that's the thing. There will be 12 companions in the game.
Yeah.
Separately, you can romance those companions regardless of the gender that you play as,
mm-hmm.
but... They confirmed that Dogmeat and Codsworth, which is a dog and a
can't
robot.
Can't have sex with Dogmeat.
You cannot have sex with a dog or a robot.
We sort of, as you can tell by these cool props, which are paper that we print out, we sort of plan this show sometimes. And right. I like the bullet points here a lot. It says, Fallout 4 players can romance companions. And it's a link to the article.
I'm already ready.
First bullet point. Can you f*** the dog?
And then I wrote no.
And then the second bullet point after no is f*** this game. And then the follow-up bullet point is can you f*** the robot, which I'm assuming is Marty spelling how he pronounces robot.
I read that as robot.
Robot?
Yeah.
And then it's no. Another bullet point. I'm okay with that. And then the third bullet point is that's bullshit. You could f*** a robot in New Vegas. Which you totally could. I don't know why they're removing features from a game. It's weird.
So I'm curious about, what's his name? Fox in Fallout 3 is like your
Do I have to
super
censor
mutant.
That?
I think you're good. Your super mutant friend, your companion, what is a super mutant? Like, does that count as human? Like, can I a super mutant?
God damn it.
I hope there's an achievement called Fox on the First Date.
But all seriously, I think it's really interesting. I think stuff like, I mean, like Dragon Age and The Witcher and all these things that add these sort of like romance and dating components,
yeah.
I think are received really well. And I think it adds,
yeah.
it's the same reason I like Persona games. I think it's really interesting when you add this extra level of companionship with somebody that goes beyond simply just being.
Beyond.
That goes further than just being friends or a silent guy in battle. And I especially think it's interesting because in this game and in the gameplay demo they showed at QuakeCon, like, you talk. The protagonist talks this time around. So they talked about, like, during one of the areas they go into, like, you walk in and you kill a guy, and then you're like, dog meat, go investigate. And then the dog runs off. And it's, like, that idea that, like, you are not just an avatar for the player, but you are playing as a person.
Yeah.
And so I think adding romance to that and kind of supports that, and it gives you, like, an identity.
It's nice.
Well, also, I mean, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Also, like, all of us are in this room because people had sex. None of us in this room have ever killed anybody. But in video games, it's like a weird novelty when you can have sex. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, we are all just like mass murderers in terms of games.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. That's such a bizarre like
disparity.
Yeah, it's really,
America.
It's really weird. And it's like we completely take it for granted. We're like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
No, I could probably count the games that have handled sex in an adult smart way on one hand. Like,
what are you doing with the other hand?
Yeah. And that was, for those of you listening, just the audio, Brian got up and then pelvic thrusted at the camera. So, oh boy.
It was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I really hope one of you guys just doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're talking about handling things in an adult, mature way. Highly recommended if you are interested.
Handle things in a mature
beyond.
Way.
Beyond.
If you are interested.
I'm wearing a suit, too.
In how games handle knack. Romance. In knack. If you're interested in how games handle romance and dating and all those things, I highly recommend Amanda Cosmos. She writes a lot of really interesting things about mm-hmm. this. She's a blog specifically about it. She's written a bunch of stuff for Polygon, I think Kotaku, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she is like super into dating sims and what they
yeah.
mean.
Like a lot of smaller games can handle it well, like ones that are like Ichigo games or Clash games.
Yep. One even like something like Hatchetful Boyfriend is really interesting because somehow, like, the pure dating sims are allowed to be a lot weirder mm-hmm. than a lot of, like, Western games especially. And it's interesting how that seeps into Western games, especially mm-hmm. more and more. Like, we talked about The Witcher. We talked about Dragon Age. Like, those.
Sure.
We're seeing
yeah,
more
Bioware
of
games,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's Dragon really Age, interesting. Yeah, Mass Effect.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, stuff like Catherine and even, like, Persona. Like, I feel like that handles it better than, I don't know, most games do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Also, I finally played the Final Fantasy XV demo mm-hmm. this weekend, and Marty was there. And, man, there's a lot of sexual tension between those fellas.
Yeah. I hope they all wake up in the same tent. Sometimes they wake up shirtless. They do a lot of grab ass. And
well,
those boys kiss at some
I love
point
that they're just like, yeah, you don't have a girl in your party because it would be awkward for the boys. But girls can join the party at some point and it'll change the dynamics. I'm like, this sounds really interesting.
They're also sounds
like a Zoolander RPG.
Around, like when you finally meet Cindy at the end of that demo, they're like so uncomfortable around her. It's like really funny, actually.
I'm so cool with I like the idea that Final Fantasy is like in the same way there's that South Park episode where they're all ninjas and they're like all badass looking, but there's like a bunch of like fourth graders with like toy weapons or whatever.
Yeah.
I like the idea that the Final Fantasy guys are all these like cool looking dudes with awesome hair and they're like driving around in a car, but in reality they're just like, oh, a girl! I don't know what to say!
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Also, they're wearing these weird, like, leather Final Fantasy outfits, and then at the end of that demo, you go to a normal gas station, everyone's wearing jeans and t-shirts. Like, everyone else in the demo looks normal except for them. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited for that game, though. Definitely. Yeah. All right, well, that is the end of Quickies with Andrew.
That was sure was.
That was one of the weirder segments. That was good.
All right.
You lasted a long time this week.
Wow. Okay. We got an email. Adam writes, here's an issue that I rarely hear brought up. How in the cuss word is Sony getting away with coming up on 2 years since PS4's release, not enabling support for standard Bluetooth mics, especially considered PS3 had support at or near launch? It's rather insulting that Sony's very own branded PlayStation mic doesn't even work. The only option is to buy a full-blown headset from Sony. Do you consider this disingenuous on Sony's part? Also, can we please start organizing our games? Sony has been very complacent in bringing the PS4 up to par in terms of standard features.
Well, so, okay, first of all, it's not disingenuous of Sony. Like, they can do, it's their platform. If they want to introduce proprietary stuff, they can do whatever they want, like as seen with Vita memory cards and stuff. That said, they shouldn't be doing this. Like, it's really weird that a feature like that almost feels like a weird oversight. Like, I don't understand how that happens. It's like kind of like how Xbox launched with like the weird, like, oh, you have to use this weird adapter to even use a headphone. And now
Sony's
like
plug in your iPod headset.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that I do think they did really, really, really well is like you just plug in any headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's very smart.
Which like, is really nice.
Compared to last gen where you needed like you needed headphones that went through like an optical jack or whatever. Yeah. Like, what the hell was that?
And that's why this is weird. I am guessing whenever firmware 3.0 comes out, like they will address a lot of these changes, or I hope they will anyway. Like,
how far
down
the road do you think that is? I mean, is that
I would love to see total speculation. I would love to see like a PSX announcement. Like, maybe that's the right place to talk about that. But I think it would be really cool if we did. Yeah, like we should be able to organize game libraries, change PSN names, like features like this that just feel like very simple oversights.
It's crazy. I'm still not entirely comfortable navigating either PS4 or Xbox One's UI.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whereas with PS3, I'm like in my sleep, I can get anywhere in that.
Yeah, as much as people made fun of the cross media bar, it's really self-explanatory and easy to use. Yeah.
No, the PS4 is basically the UI is just like this snake that has all of your old games on it.
Yeah.
And then you get to that weird doldrum box at the very end where it's just like, here's everything you've ever downloaded, and you'll never be able to get rid of any of it.
Yeah.
Like, here's every bad decision you've ever made.
Yeah. That's the curse of PlayStation Plus. Yeah. Is then you're like, oh, here's this thing.
And there's just huge bloated box. You're like, oh man, did I download the Warframe demo? Like, how do I get rid of that?
Yeah.
And you're clicking everywhere and it's like, nope, can't get rid of it. It's there. It's a tattoo on your
console. I think you can storage management or whatever, data management.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Because I got rid of the Destiny beta. Like, that's not on my thing anymore.
Yeah, you can. It's just everything seems a little bit cumbersome. And it's maybe it's because just as part of the job, I have to use all the consoles. I'm still using the old consoles every once in a while as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I just don't have that muscle memory yet.
He kind of hints at organization on games. Like, I would like to see folders.
Yeah, that helps so much on Vita. Like, once you could organize things into folders, it's just nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird, too. Like, I would love to see more customization. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who misses them, but I loved, like, custom themes on PS3. I spent actual real-life money on a couple dynamic themes.
I got a Witcher theme right now that's great because it's got this, like, kind of scary, sexy mermaid on the regular thing. But then if you hit up by accident, it's got this, like, water hag who's just got her, like, boobs hanging out. And, like, I'll accidentally hit that. Like, we're about to watch a movie on Netflix, and I'll, like, flick it up, and Jen will be like, "You're not playing The Witcher now, are you?" And I'm like, "Sorry, I didn't." And sorry about the gross lady boob. It's an awful thing on the computer.
I know, I missed that.
Bad screen.
Yeah,
I missed that a lot from both consoles. Like, I had a bunch of weird themes on 360 also that, as far as I know, you can't do on
I missed the blades. That's what I missed.
I kind of missed the blades.
Nobody misses the blades.
I like the noise the blades make.
I disabled all the... Max came over one day, and he was like, "You know, you can get rid of all those noises on your PS4, right?" And I'm like, "Oh, thank God."
I get mad. Anytime someone boots up a PS4 to do something in this office, I still hear that. I get, like, rage.
All the alien noises or whatever? Yeah.
Kerplunk.
Yeah, I got rid of all those.
We got another email from Tyler Carlson, a.k.a. Stoichiometry. Stoichiometry.
Real good
on PSN. Hey, guys, and beyond.
Beyond.
I want to know what your thoughts on collector's editions of games. I enjoy getting them for the games that I'm a huge fan of, such as The Stick of Truth, but they are going a bit crazy. For example, the Call of Duty Black Ops 3 Juggernog Edition comes with a mini fridge. I feel that some of these are just going too far and not making it possible for the budgeted gamers to be able to get these. Also, what are your thoughts on the content, aka digital versus physical? That's two questions.
Yeah.
Also, if you're a budgeting gamer, you're not buying collector's editions. That's sort of kind of the...
That's why the real... It's interesting when you see, like, it's like limited edition, and then, like, 6 months later they're on clearance and there are 1,000 of them, versus the limited editions that there are, like, only 250, and, like, if you didn't pre-order it, you're never going to get it.
Wasn't Amazon literally giving away order collector's editions? Like,
they were, like, 19 bucks on Prime Day, or $9 or something really low like that. And then, but then I remember, like, I went to the midnight launch of Halo 3, which is the one that came with the helmet.
Those things,
like, there was a point where, like, a year or two later, they were, like, $9.99, and there was, like, 100 of them at any Best Buy you went to. Or the Halo Reach statues that, like, when everyone I started IGN, literally everyone here had, like, one of those Halo Reach statues.
They would be like, "Your desk looks kind of empty. Do you want a Halo Reach statue?"
Yeah.
Or, like, these six guys.
So, and I think, like, it's really...
standing on a rock.
Something like the mini fridge edition or whatever is cool for, like, if you make, like, 300 or
the
whatever.
The mini fridge edition feels exactly like the people at Call of Duty are just internally trying to one-up each other from studio to studio every year. They're like, last year they made a car and a helmet the year before. Yeah. We're going to make a fridge.
Cool night vision goggles. Guess what? We have a fridge.
Here's a real gun.
I love Call of Duty. I love how weird they get with that, because it's so totally just like just pie-in-the-sky ideas that they actually deliver on. And some of those gimmicks are kind of cool. Like, for some reason, I had the little GoPro that came with the Call of Duty Ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's really fun. You can make fun videos with it. Just, you know, I actually put it on my cat at one point. She hated that.
Not a fan.
You can put the Master Chief helmet on your cat too.
Yeah, they make a lot of cool stuff you can put on cats. That
it's
games.
Not big enough for a human.
That being said, I'm kind of into collectibles. I love toys a lot. I'm into like statues and model kits and stuff like that. And more often than not, I'm really disappointed by the statues that come with
the quality.
They're they're kind of gross. There have been a few exceptions. That Titanfall one was really good.
Yeah,
but like for the most time, it's just like I don't understand what's so hard about. Honestly, just like. Take a page out of like how Hasbro will like repurpose like Star Wars figures and like find an existing collectible for a game and then pack it in with the game, you know?
Or go even bigger, like partner with like Sideshow.
Yeah, I was going to say partner with a company, right?
Yeah.
And like if you're going to make somebody spend, not make somebody, but give somebody the option of spending $150 on a box. Oh, and first of all, if you're going to do that, put the game in there. Oh, I don't care what you do. Everything else is secondary. Put the Wolfenstein thing they did last year where they didn't put the game in.
Yeah, that's weird.
Don't do that. Don't ever do that.
What's crazy, I think this question might be in response to the Halo 5 Collector's Edition, which is $250 and comes with a download code. It doesn't come with the actual like physical copy of the game.
Yeah.
But now they're saying like, oh, you can trade in your download code for a physical copy of the game, which seems weird because if you're going to pay $250 for a game, you probably want to play it the first day as opposed to going through the rigmarole of like, sending it in. And
to me, it's like that is an interesting. I guess there are people who really, really want physical media. Like I, for me, like in handhelds, I desperately only want digital. I don't want to swap cartridges or whatever. Mm-hmm. For consoles, it doesn't really bother me either way.
Yeah. That being said, if you had a physical copy of Batman, you could play it this weekend.
That's true.
I think all of these things should be built. Yeah. They should be built out where you can customize them. Every single special edition should be like we're making five things. Pick what you want, and here's
the
price.
Yeah. You want a code? You want a physical
right now
copy?
they're basically just like really expensive loot crates for about one theme.
Well,
instead
that's
of just like sorcery, it's just like
I think
Wolfenstein.
The amount they make is what determines like whether or not they are relevant to me. Like something like the ones that sell out, like these Fallout 4 Pip-Boy editions that they like cannot keep in stock, or like the
I got one of those.
I pre-ordered one during E3 just in case. Yeah,
canceled my pre-order.
I'm so down with that stupid thing. Normally, I don't want that, but I'm like, nope, I'm gonna wear that stupid thing. I'm gonna use it three times and get over it. But like,
I think you see a lot like the full disclosure, I used to work for Gearbox, Borderlands collector's edition thing, the Hansel collection thing with Claptrap sold out in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's like,
because that's cool.
It was more expensive than a console. Like, I was like,
I never worked for Gearbox. I can tell you that's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, at that price, I was like, oh man, I don't know if anyone's gonna buy these. And then they sold out in 2 seconds. Yep. And I guess the lesson there is that it's like, if you like that franchise enough, you will buy it. And there are collector's editions that they hit that sweet spot of like they're really limited. The hardcore fans get them, and then that's it.
And
then there's
cool.
And it's something cool for everybody.
But the reason I don't like them is because if there's something I want in there, like if I want a Pip-Boy bobblehead or something like that, or the Vault Boy bobblehead, like that's cool. But I don't want the patches or the T-shirt or the soundtrack CD. So like I wish there was a way to just be like, no, you keep that stuff or sell it to somebody else. I want the game and
like
I want
a Kickstarter setup kind of
thing. Yeah, well, like where you can, exactly. Where you can kind of pick your tiers.
Do you really want to support Reading Rainbow, or did you want a free T-shirt? And I'm like, I want that shirt.
Yeah, like I want to
kiss LeVar Burton. Right? That's
exactly.
Cheap,
it's build your own collector's edition.
And I think that's
what's
interesting is as long as it's stuff like that, I'm not bothered by it. If it's like, oh, you can only get this statue in the collector's edition, that bothers me a lot less than when they're like, oh, like unless you spend $300 in this collector's edition, you don't get this map or this level or whatever. Like that's where stuff bothers me more. When Arkham City came out and Destin and I were trying to go around and get all the skins on day one, those were the ones that were hardest to get because the collector's edition was sold out everywhere and we needed like those last two to make that video. And I don't know, it's weird when game content is blocked behind these things. That I find weirder. And maybe a skin is fine.
Oh, no, I think that's a big problem. I absolutely think that's a big problem. I don't think that you should be blocked out of something unless you spend $300 on it. Like, give people that option to download it digitally separately, piecemeal. Don't make anything exclusive that's integral or even like sort of optional to the game. Like, you can have sort of side stuff that fits on your desk.
Make the stupid statue.
Statue's fine. Yeah. But like, don't make like a cutscene or an ending or a character or something exclusive to a $300 box, because that pieces out a lot of people. You know, not everyone spends $300 on a game.
I think that the high price tag should sort of be kept to physical stuff, because when you're saying something's limited edition, there is an actual physical quantity there.
Yeah.
When you've got something that's a digital
construct, to a code that just unlocks what's on.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing limited about that. You can make a billion of them, and it's like,
totally,
you know.
Yeah.
On that note, let's talk about Gamescom, which I'm scared of.
Don't be scared. It's so you won't be – the thing about Gamescom is it is 10 times bigger than E3. It's what, like 350,000?
Yeah, why would I not
people?
Be scared?
Because
you don't have to work on the show floor.
Exactly. That's the thing. So it's 10 times bigger than E3, but there's a business center. So the public side of it is there's like 8 halls, and they're really big and they're super crowded, and that's the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the show. But the Wednesday is a trade day, where on that Wednesday you can go to those halls, the same as the public halls, but it's only trade visitors, which is like the press and VIPs and stuff like that.
Is that like you trade goods?
Yeah, like it's like Smuggler's
Cove.
It's
like a cheat day and I can have carbs.
Black market. But then also there's two halls, I think halls 4 and 5, are the actual business center, which are open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and that's where we'll be holed up.
I wasn't not actually that scared. I was just, you know.
You seemed a little scared.
No. I mean, I'm like nervous about it because I'm going to Europe for the first time.
Oh, well, that makes
sense. Andrew will protect you.
I will. We're going to get some beers. We're going to
It'll be fun. We're going to bond.
It's just like a really smart, weird version of America.
Let's talk about the games at Gamescom.
Andrew, you're planning our Gamescom conference.
I am.
What are we seeing that we can talk about?
What's Sony doing?
So
that's the weird
Sony,
thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sony has largely pulled out in favor, it sounds like, of doing something at Paris Games Week. Mm-hmm. So Sony does not have a press conference this year at Gamescom.
Which last year they had a conference which was pretty big because that's where they revealed PT and were like, hey, the last, like, you can download it right now.
So the last like three Gamescoms, they've had press conferences that were like decently big. Yeah. Last year was PT.
They showed Wild, the Michel Ancel game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The year before that, they did a lot of the indie games, and that was when they announced, let's see.
Was that Loop Trousers?
I think so. And that was like,
I love when they just, they're like, we have the PS4. It's going to be the biggest new gaming machine. And then they had Rami come out and he's like, hey, check it out. I made a game with four different shades of brown and it's an 8-bit. It's about old planes.
Yeah. The Gamescom 2012, I think, was Tearaway, mm-hmm. Until Dawn.
Yeah, that was the original Until Dawn. And then I think last year was when it was re-shown as what it is now.
Yeah, what was the, Rain, I think, was that year. Oh, yeah. Puppeteer. Yeah.
So historically, they've had a pretty big presence, and this year is sort of like, I'm expecting them to, you know, show maybe just repeats of the demos we saw at E3. Like, maybe we'll just see.
Well, and the difference is third parties, right? Like, EA still has a thing. EA will have a conference. So, I mean, obviously, like, I would expect more Battlefront stuff, which is obviously going to be a big thing this fall.
They're going to show us the whole game before it's out.
They might.
I'm honestly, like, I want to play that game, and I'm kind of tired of seeing stuff for it.
So I am too, except every time, like, I played both demos at E3. I played the Tatooine one and the Hoth one, and I think that game looks incredible. It's like kind of the Star Wars game I always wanted as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, even like the Hoth stuff, when I think back to playing like Shadows of the Empire or whatever, and I thought it was so cool taking down the AT-AT.
Yeah.
But then like seeing it now, like fully realized, and it's like so much cooler. I'm just like, man, I wish there was a campaign. Because like, I'm just not a multiplayer guy.
And Max and I have been talking a lot
more
about
surprises
that
on the map, you know, like Wampas or whatever. Yeah. I've seen any Wampas. I'm going to say this right now. I think this is going to be Microsoft's show. Like, I think that they held off on some stuff intentionally at E3, and they're like, we're going to show off some of this stuff and that stuff. And then
they've
already
announced that they're showing off Scalebound, they're showing off Crackdown, they're showing off Quantum Break.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, I think, and obviously Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really interesting seeing what a show is like without a Sony presence. I don't think we've really. Like, it's very, like, Nintendo has kind of bowed out of a lot of these shows for a long time. They're not TGS. They don't have a Gamescom press conference or even an E3.
They'll be at Space
anymore.
World.
The site of Earthbound 64.
Yeah.
But no, I think, like, it'll be really interesting seeing, like, a show with one first party, which never happens other than, like, PSX.
Sony's presence, sort of like you were saying, is going to be in the third parties. Like, I'm sure Activision is going to show more Taken King.
Yep.
And that'll lean towards Sony.
We'll probably see more Fallout.
More Black Ops 3, which we know is leaning towards Sony this year.
And that's kind of the thing. Like, that's, so I talked to Shuhei at E3 about the fall lineup, and that was kind of his answer. It's like, they don't. It's not a coincidence that they're like, this is the biggest third party year in a while in terms of Fallout and Battlefront and all these things. It's not a coincidence that there aren't big first party games coming out, because why would they essentially compete with themselves?
Yeah.
Like, they're the dominant first party platform right now in terms of sales. So why not lean into that?
And it's funny because the big first party games that Sony does have all seem to be coming out before the fall. Stuff like Until Dawn and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and Tearaway Unfolded.
Well, even their collections.
Uncharted After.
And Uncharted
and God of War 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Uncharted 4.
I didn't think about that they pretty much left the fall open for third parties.
Well, it's also it's smart, and I've heard, talking to some indie devs, I've heard that there's an interesting thing with the, you know, both PSN and XBLA, where it's like they're in charge of the release schedule, which can be really tedious for people who are like, hey, I finished my game, can we release it? And they're like, just hold on a second.
Yeah.
Like, just let's wait, and we'll do it. We have our tarot reader here who's going to plan out when this game is going to be most successful, because it's mutually beneficial to launch the game at a time when it's going to sell well. For Sony's like first party stuff and exclusives, like, they might have to spend a little bit longer keeping something in the oven longer, you know. Yeah. But it's also like, more polish is just better for them in the long run.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you also have to think about, like, most of these, or basically all of these companies, are publicly traded, and so they have to, if they pour a bunch of money into a game, like, number one, they want to maximize when they're getting that money back. But then also they have to think about shareholders and make sure, like, okay, like, we have no big games this fiscal year, so like, something has to come out by like this date at the latest. And then that like impacts like a lot of those third party schedules. And Sony knows that. Sony, I mean, also publicly traded, also has stock to worry about, obviously, but they kind of have a little bit more freedom to determine which studio is doing what, and to make sure, like, when you own that many studios, you're like, we will have a big game in this quarter. Like, you can control it a little better, I think, than third parties who maybe only have one big win and they have to place it very carefully.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like you were saying, Sony does have, you know, in theory, two major beats after Gamescom, which Paris Games Week, we're still not sure what that means, but Sony's going to have a presence there.
And when is that?
That's end of October.
Yeah, it's Halloween. Like Halloween.
And so it's actually three, because TGS technically
TGS,
could be TGS could be big Final Fantasy 15 and Persona 5 and all that stuff, Kingdom Hearts. So that's the interesting thing about this fall for Sony is, like, to my knowledge, we haven't seen a Battlefront bundle or a Black Ops 3 bundle or any of that stuff, but it's like, Fallout 4 bundle could happen. Like, we don't know. Like, but like, think about, like, they can sell PS4s no problem based on third parties. Yeah. We know that Disney Infinity is going to have a big Sony presence. Like, that's huge for kids in the fall because it's Star Wars. Like, and it's right around when the movie's coming out. So I honestly think they don't need first party games this fall. Yep. And Uncharted can come out in like January or February and do just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Also, do we know if there's going to be like a video game awards, VGX type thing this year?
I mean, we know there's going to be a PSX. Yeah. We're pretty sure there's going to be a PSX this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if, again, they're paired up. Like, they're sort of the same sort of event ones on a Friday.
Like, it works really well.
Like, we've got these kind of, you know, question mark events following Gamescom that we kind of know what they are. But, like,
there's so many now. Like,
there's still two more that are kind of like the jury's out on that. Like,
Don't they
usually announce the VGAs or VGXs or whatever like a month ahead of time or something?
Yeah. It's like
and then they'll be like, hey, it's a first look at Skyrim or whatever.
I mean, it's so weird because, like, you think about what this year could look like. I mean, after Gamescom, we know Paris Games Week, we know PSX, but like D23, they confirmed that Battlefront, Kingdom Hearts stuff is going to be there. You have BlizzCon in November. Like, is that when we get Overwatch for consoles? Totally. Is that when we get all kinds of other stuff? Yeah, New York Comic Con. Like, obviously TGS will be big for Persona and all the games we were talking about. Like, they're just an event every month now.
Yeah.
And then even January, like CES could be big for hardware stuff. PAX South. There's a lot.
I really hope that more studios are taking a cue, more publishers are taking a cue from what Bethesda did with Fallout, and we're going to get stuff where it's like, hey, guess what's coming out next year? This thing.
Yeah.
It's going to come out next year.
Guess what's coming out in 6 months.
Yeah. Guess what's out today.
That's why Gamescom and especially PSX are at weird points. Because like, Gamescom is sort of your last chance, I guess, where theoretically you could announce something in August and maybe it still comes out before the end of the year.
That'd be weird.
But that would be weird, and that's like the latest you could possibly do it. Like, obviously, Paris Games Week on October 31st is not going to be new announcements of games coming out in December. And PSX in December is obviously for next year, which is really interesting.
Cool.
All right. Good to talk about it. All right.
Good
Brian,
job, boys.
You have a thing that you like to do. It's called Rapid Fire. That's when you say a bunch of easier questions you pulled from the Facebook group.
I went on the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, which you should join if you haven't yet, because there's some good people there. I went in there and I asked for quick questions, nothing long, nothing, no four paragraphs.
I joined it. Marty accepted me.
And I got some good ones. I got like 200 questions, so I picked up five, and we're going to go through them right now. Now, number one, Gary Horman III, or Gary Horman III, Game of the Year edition, asks, best kind of cereal?
The one that Marty listens to on NPR, the podcast one.
That one? No, that wasn't around long enough.
The one with Fruit Brute. It's a fruit-flavored werewolf cereal.
Fruit Brute is actually the name of the cereal.
Yummy Mummy.
I like Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Cracklin'
Get out of here.
Cracklin' Oat Bran is dope.
No one's ever said that sentence before.
No.
What do you mean, guys? I love this sweater. It's comfortable. It's real cool.
You sound like a grandfather pretending to be a teenager.
Honey Nut Cheerios is the correct answer.
In a perfect world,
Honey,
I Cheers.
Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Cheers.
S'mores cereal was the greatest cereal of all time. I don't know where it is. I saw a bootleg version of it in the store the other day, but I don't buy that bootleg.
Remember that time Kellogg's real fucked up in Oopstall Berries?
Yep.
That was a real.
They got big factory problems over there. They got soggies.
That was a straight up goof.
That's what happens when you leave your entire cereal empire up to a goddamn ship captain.
Yeah, he's nautical.
A drunk sailor. Number two, Evan Betterman asks, what animals pissed you off in the last week? I want to talk about this real quick.
Brian,
I went to the zoo yesterday, and I'll tell you what pissed me off. The grizzly bears are becoming self-aware, and apparently one of the grizzly bears threw a rock at the glass and broke it. And they had to tell the bears to get out of the water part and go into the regular part, and they're all sleeping under a tree. So if you go to the zoo and you try to see the bears, you can't, because the bears are learning how to crack windows, which is pretty awesome.
I don't know why that pissed you off. That's great.
It's really cool. As a man who wanted to see some bears, I'm a little disappointed. Shame on you bears. Get it together.
Good news. They made transparent aluminum, so soon they're going to have bears behind metal glass.
Max, you have a dog that pooped a rope recently. Or a thread of sorts.
Yeah, I wasn't really mad at him for that. Yeah, my dog ate part of a towel, and he went poop, and part of the poop was stuck on his bottom, so I had to pull it off, but it was like a magician scarf, and I had to just kind of pull it out.
Yep.
Like, he didn't like that. It was really awkward for both of us after that.
Marty, animals did annoy you in the last week?
All of them, because they can kill you.
Yes, all of them could kill me. I was drinking at a park yesterday,
and
a dog ran over and knocked over my tall boy. wasn't a fan of that dog.
Insult to injury.
Yeah.
For our Canadian listeners, a tall boy is a big beer, not just a friend of Marty.
You knocked over a real tall man
Do you have any animal problems recently, Goldfarb?
No, I love animals.
Great. Good for you.
I played with a kitten last week. I tweeted out some pictures.
No one cares. It was number four. Number three, Jess Mitz. I think it's MTZ.
I think it's the abbreviation for mountain.
Oh, Jeff Mountain Z's.
Jeff Mountain Z's.
You can only play one series for the rest of your life. Do you pick Final
Mountain
Fantasy?
Zoo.
Final Fantasy or Assassin's Creed are the only games you can play the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's really tough because I like both series. I probably have to go Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
I'm going with Assassin's Creed just because they're annual, which means I'm guaranteed a new game every year. Final Fantasy, kind of.
Yeah.
Depends.
Oh, so I took this. I took this the other way. I was thinking this is if you.
The existing ones.
If you're forced to play a game, and maybe I'd probably just go outside if I had to be stuck playing either of these. I mean, they're both great in their own ways, but I'm not really partial to either. I think Final Fantasy, you're going to get more variety. You know, Assassin's Creed,
You can't write around a hypothetical question. That's not how that works.
What?
You're slowing down rapid fire.
All right, sorry.
You can't do that. It's like being what's your desert album?
Which is better, actual history or totally fake history where there's you fight a house?
In reality, I wouldn't go on a desert island with one album. I would stay in my apartment with all the albums. Oh, thanks for playing, guys. I'm Max Scoville.
I thought it was like number four. Messed up soft Alex puzzle where someone's forcing you to play Final Fantasy.
I thought it was a good answer, Max.
Number four, Alex Tittensore. Great name. Asks, is PS4 selling so well because it's not USA focused like the Xbox?
Well, yes, but first of all, the Xbox 360 won last generation. Well, I guess Wii won last generation, but the Xbox 360 sold tens of millions of copies being USA focused last gen. So
They had more of a presence in Europe, though.
Yeah,
I feel like they dropped Microsoft dropped the ball in Europe this time.
Yeah, I just think in general, like PS4 is selling better because they do better in other territories. But that said, that doesn't mean Xbox is not selling well because of that.
Okay. Sony is a Japanese company that's been selling consumer products since the 1960s worldwide. Microsoft is an American company that's been selling products since the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just they have more experience. They have like an established, you know, Sony North America, Sony Europe, Sony Japan.
Yep. Just, yeah, but still, I mean, that didn't help Sony last generation.
Yeah, that's because they were like, we made a cell processing power supercomputer. It's $100,000 and you have to sell your house to buy it.
You will work.
And then you have to fight your house.
You will work more hours.
The games are so exciting you have to shake the controller.
Five, Yair Donen asks, who would you want to play you in the inevitable Beyond movie? I don't think he knows what inevitable means. That means that that's definitely going to happen.
He'd be Jason Statham.
I would?
Yeah.
Really? Thank you very much. Have you seen him?
Wait, can Andrew just cast us all?
Yeah, let's see.
Director Andrew, go
around the table.
Okay.
So I'm Jason Statham.
You would be...
Am I really Jason Statham? I don't buy that.
No, I mean, no, but it's a movie.
Okay.
You'd be...
Ray
what's
Romano.
His name? Oscar Isaac from Ex Machina and...
That's
a good one.
I don't like that one bit because I like you and I don't like him one bit.
Oh, why don't you
really?
Like
he's in the Star Wars.
He's going to be a Star Wars.
Yeah, he's going to be a jerk in
he's
that.
He's going to fly a
he's
whole
gonna
ship.
He's going to do a Star Wars.
Also, Poe Dameron sounds like someone's too drunk to do actual racial slurs.
Yep.
Like you're falling off a porch and you're trying to hate something, but you just can't.
Poe Dameron!
Poe Dameron!
And you, Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Really?
I can see that.
All right.
Yeah. I can see that.
Sure.
What about
Fair
you,
enough.
Andrew? Look into that
Seth
mirror.
Green.
Look into that.
Oh, I like this. I like this cast a lot.
Who's
somebody? If someone wants to Photoshop this,
make
or,
this movie poster.
Yeah, someone make this poster.
Who's writing this film?
P.T. Anderson.
Is he also directing this film?
Yes.
Okay, is Hans Zimmer doing the score?
No, it's P.T. Anderson writing,
Harry
but Darren
Gregson
Aronofsky.
Williams.
Darren Aronofsky directs.
With Harry Gregson Williams doing the score.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask who will play Jared Petty?
Ooh, that one's harder. Jonah Hill.
He lost a lot of weight.
I don't know. That's hard.
Yeah.
You four were easy, or you three were easy, but...
Is Dr. Robotnik a real man?
Oh, God.
Andy Serkis.
There we go. Yeah. Perfect.
Mocap.
That was Rapid Fire. Thanks for playing. Join the Podcast Beyond Facebook group. Ask us dumb questions, and I'll read them on the show next time.
Finally, we have an Essential 50 entry from a young man who wrote in named Max Scoville. That's
all
me.
Right.
Hey, everybody.
Good boy.
I like Metal Gear because it's the best game ever.
It's not funny. It's a great game. Grand Theft Auto 3.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Kind of weird because we've come to accept that because it's come to everything, including Android phones, like at this point. But that was originally like one of those games that was the PS2 playing by prison rules and kicking people's asses on the first day. That was also, I would say, the first modern open world action game.
Yep, 100%.
Like that
changed everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are at a point where basically what it established in terms of just basic open world game mechanics and just that freedom and go do all this bad stuff and then go to school the next day and tell your friends about it and then watch a thing on Fox News about how this is outrageous. I feel like games are still kind of chasing that, you know? Like we are finally with this console generation seeing open world kind of become standard.
Mm-hmm.
for better or for worse. You know, it's kind of not necessarily the most conducive to a good story, but Rockstar definitely, they went from being like, hey, those guys who made that game that was sort of cool for a minute made this just incredibly good.
And one of those games where at the time you're like, games will never look better than this.
Yeah, yep. And there's like moments in video game history where you're like, all right, this is where like Super Mario Brothers like sort of moved the goalposts. And Doom, Wolfenstein did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's happened since GTA 3. I think GTA 3 is the last one to sort of say like, this is what games are.
That
and
sucks,
no
right?
Single game has. Yeah, it does kind of suck. But
really
it just
sucks.
Also shows how insanely ahead of the time and ahead of the curve. Yeah.
Like that feeling I had playing Mario 64 the first time or GTA 3 the first time around. Yep. Like, I don't know if I'll ever have anything like that again.
I mean, it's not for me, but hopefully that's what VR is for people.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That could.
You know what else is weird is that game is that came out literally half my lifetime ago.
It's crazy.
Flew by.
It was 2001.
That was a 2001 joint.
Yeah.
It definitely deserves a spot on the list. I think in terms of games we've suggested for the list, it's probably aged the worst. Like it's
really.
I think GTA 3 is a very hard game to revisit if you've played any of the newer ones. I think if you haven't, then I'm sure it's really fun to jump into. But it's obviously a very boiled down version of where like 5 is now.
Yeah.
But I think it's still worth playing, especially you mentioned it's on Android and iPhone and stuff like that. So you can actually go check this game out for a couple bucks.
Playing it on iPad is really surreal to me because like I remember sitting and playing. It's one of those games.
You can get it on Vita.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's weird to think about that. That's such a, you know, also that and kind of just historically, that and Metal Gear Solid 2 came out like right after 9/11.
Yeah.
And they both were centered in New York and had some just very kind of weird collective unconscious themes going on there.
Yeah.
Somebody should write a term paper on that or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On that note, on that very dark note.
Yeah.
There's your homework for the week.
What should people go check out? Brian, start with you.
I don't know. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything.
All right.
Well, okay. What's a movie that people should see?
What's a dog people should pet?
What did I see? I mean, It Follows is awesome. I watched that again recently.
Yeah, that's really good.
Really
right?
Good movie. Max, I downloaded the 1994 Fantastic Four movie that came out. I want to go watch that because I'm sure it's a train wreck, but apparently everybody who worked on it
wasn't that written by really like J.D. Salinger's son or something?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
We could watch it at my apartment.
That's right. I'm down to do that.
Okay. Marty, what about you?
Andrew and I watched a little rom-com over the weekend.
Yeah, we did.
We did a lot of, Andrew and I did a lot of
quality time.
What was it called? Before We Go?
Before We Go.
Yeah,
it's Chris Evans'
directorial debut.
Mm-hmm. Weird. Direct things with those big arms of his?
Yeah. So he's,
really good.
So he's always wearing a big coat, and then when he's not wearing a big coat, he's wearing a bathrobe. And I'm like, it's because he's supposed to play this like poor musician, but he's probably got the biggest muscles.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the whole thing, is they need to hide the fact.
I know, I have that same problem.
I want to recommend A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Oh my God, so good.
That is
That I gotta say, that is the worst Home Alone movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a super interesting movie. It's black and white and it's subtitled and you should broaden your horizons and check it out. It's on Netflix.
Can we talk about this afterwards? Because I watched that entire movie and I fell asleep before the last 10 minutes of it, so I don't know how it ends.
Well, you go back and finish it.
You should revisit that.
I have a minute. For me, I would say, I already mentioned it earlier, but Ex Machina I finally watched on demand. I think it's still in theaters in some places, weirdly. But yeah, I liked it a lot. Pretty much everything except the last 5 minutes I loved.
Mm-hmm. Super good movie. I watched that after watching the entirety of Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Similar themes. Yeah. And if I hadn't seen Black Mirror, Ex Machina would be one of my favorite movies of the year, but it felt like an episode of that.
It did, yeah, totally.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like odd and bittersweet. But on that note, thank you guys so much for listening. Let's see. Plugs, Twitter, PAX.
Oh, the four of us are going to be at PAX.
Oh, yeah, we are. All four of us.
At the end of August. And we have a panel on Sunday, August 30th at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
at the Sasquatch Theater.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So we're all going to be Sunday at 5 p.m. I know it's a little late if you're booking your travel or whatever.
Yeah.
Get on the plane at 9 or something.
And we'll have Mitch Dyer and Damon Hatfield there as well.
Yeah, a lot of folks.
And we're going to be doing some kind of meet and greet hangout.
Yeah, we'll have full details probably next week.
Can we say when it's looking like?
It's looking like Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll also be, I mean, if nothing official gets nailed down, we'll be on Twitter. And you can follow us all on Twitter and keep tabs on what we're doing. Yeah. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity with two G's and two T's. Is that right?
Yep.
And Brian is Agent Bizzle.
Yep.
And Andrew is Garfep.
That's me.
So thank you guys for listening. And beyond.
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 Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.